Suffering loss and going through grief is a part of the human existence. There is not a one of us who will skate through life without having to cope with losing someone very close to us. But sometimes that loss is sudden. It's horrifying. How do you possibly climb out of that pit of grief once that happens? That's the question addressed in a new documentary called Transforming Loss. In this film, we meet six Michigan families who have managed to triumph, transform, even grow despite indescribable heartbreak, and they have lessons for each of us. Joining me here in the studio is the filmmaker Judith Burdick, who's also a licensed psychotherapist in Oakland County, and one of the people who shared her story of loss and transformation, a story that began for her when her teenage son committed suicide. These days, she volunteers for the Heinz Prechter Bipolar Research Project at the University of Michigan Depression Center. Elizabeth Guz joins us as well, and it's a pleasure to welcome both of you. Judith, I want to start with you because your story is really a part of this, your desire to make a film that focuses on how people transform a deep loss into a force for good. This has a very personal origin for you, doesn't it?
It sure does. It started about 22 years ago when my then-husband was killed suddenly in a scuba diving accident, leaving me with two small children to figure out how to survive and then how to go on.
And how did you do that, and how did you transform? Well, how did that change your life? How did it drive you?
Well, it was a drive, and it continues to be a drive, but at the time, it drove me to want to become a psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss. I always wanted to go back to school to become a therapist when my children became old enough, but this specialty, you know, is definitely an outgrowth of that experience. And then, you know, moving forward with that, the next step for me was creating this film, which is also just part of that evolution.
Well, the film is incredibly honest, and the people who were a part of this, including Liz, we're going to talk to Liz in a moment, but it was stunning to me how open people were about the depths of their grief. Who did you pick and why?
Well, it's very interesting. The process of choosing people was almost bigger than just me picking them. They had to decide, yes, I will participate in this. And I reached out in a multiple of ways, one of which through my practice, and then networking with other therapists in the area and people, and, you know, remembering stories and trying to connect with those people, like Gary Weinstein, who lost his entire family. I think everyone in the area remembers that story. So a lot of different ways of reaching out, but I presented the opportunity, and each one of these individuals said yes.
And you had everything from a young girl. You had Gary, who, as a more mature husband and dad, loses his wife and both sons, and Liz. Liz, your son Michael committed suicide at age 17. Why would you want to revisit such a tragic and painful period in your life when you said, yes, I'll be a part of this film?
Right. Well, my first instinct was, oh, my God, I can't do this. It's so personal. But, you know, I really wanted to make Michael's life have more meaning, and I wanted people to really understand what he went through and what we went through as a family dealing with his illness. He was a great kid, and he really fought everything so hard, and I wanted people to really understand what he went through and how about suicide not really being something as a weakness, but something that he was just trying to end his pain.
Tell us a little about Michael.
He was smart, funny. He really worked very hard. He was an honor student, and he always just had this tormented side of him, and he fought it as best he could. We had gotten him a lot of help. He did not respond to medication at all, and it was very frustrating for him and obviously for all of us, and just heartbreaking. And he, you know, when I say he committed suicide, he did have a suicide note. He did not, he had it in his wallet, but he actually overdosed. And I don't believe that he really, like, picked when this was going to happen, but his behavior became more and more reckless, you know, knowing that it was eventually going to happen. And it was just heartbreaking for our whole family to watch him go through this. And I know he felt horrible that we were all suffering with him also.
And I could only imagine it would be very easy to fall into something inward where you wall off. Did you go through that before you began to grow out and reach up?
Oh, for sure. I mean, even before Michael died, I mean, we were going through such a horrible time, and I really didn't tell anybody. You know, people did not know what was going on. I'd come home and just, you know, cry but put on a completely different face, you know, to the public, because I really didn't want people to know what was going on. I wanted to protect Michael, and I always had hoped that he would be okay. But after this happened, and obviously it was very public, you know, I had to make a conscious choice that I had two kids, I have a husband, and I needed them to know that we can't change the past, we have to move forward. And I just kind of had to pick myself up and move forward and try to make some positive things out of this situation. And that's when I got involved with the Proctor Fund and just, you know, talking to other people. People would contact me with their problems with their kids. And I just tried to be, you know, to do the best I can. But, you know, I have my times where I lay in Michael's bed and cry. You know, I do. And I let myself do that.
Judith Burdick, your film is Transforming Loss, and it says, here's the slogan, transformation is the opportunity to become extraordinary. How do the people you've profiled, Liz and the other five families, what do they do to take this tragedy, whether it's a infant who dies or a man who loses wife in both senses, how do they transform into something extraordinary?
By becoming proactive. And what I mean by that, and you, once you see the film, the viewer sees exactly how each individual person or a couple has become proactive in their own healing journey. And one of the ways that people, these individuals, as well as myself, have done that is by reaching out to try to help others who are going through such similar losses, to try to make it better, to try to make a contribution. Those are some of the really positive ways and proactive ways that people have done that, and all of these people have that in common. They take their loss and they do something with it, and that really gives us the opportunity to make that loss meaningful.
I'm speaking with filmmaker Judith Burdick of Bloomfield Hills. Her documentary is called Transforming Loss, looking at six Michigan families who really managed to triumph and transform and even grow despite suffering incredible heartbreak and loss of someone very, very near and dear to them. And one of the people profiled in the film is my other guest, Elizabeth Guz. I want to ask both of you about this. One of the stories, one of the people profiled in the film, mentioned him, is Gary Weinstein of Novi. And so many people who followed the news remember the appalling tragedy. It was May 2005 when an incredibly drunk driver smashed into a car carrying Gary's wife and two boys and killed all three. And in the film, he notes that so often people do not know what to say after a tragedy. And I'd like to get the thoughts of both of you. And I'll start with you, Liz, because you had to go through this when your son Michael committed suicide. What are the do's and don'ts of reaching out to someone after a loss like you suffered?
You know, I think it's just to do whatever you feel. And like what Gary said is true. Just being there, a hug, you know, even if someone says, I don't really know what to say, but they're just there for you. You know, probably for me, the thing that was the best to say is, you know, oh, I know, like my old grandfather, you know, he just died. You know, it's different when you lose a young person. And so that would probably be the one thing that I would say maybe not to say. But typically just being there and just giving support and understanding and love is, that's all you can really do.
Also, I'd like to add to that. People, it seems counterindicated, but people really like it, and myself included, when somebody comes up to you and says, God, how are you doing? I really feel bad, and, you know, I knew that person. You know, a lot of people are afraid to bring it up out of fear that it's going to, you know, derail the person who's suffering. But really, it's comforting when somebody says, "I remember," because, you know, it validates the fact that they existed. And when somebody is gone, it's very frightening to think that people will forget who they are. So when somebody is reminded by somebody else who, you know, is observing their loss, it's always good to bring them up. It's a good thing, not a bad thing.
And Liz,
absolutely. I love hearing stories about Michael, you know, that people had experiences with him that I didn't know about. I love to hear them, and I'm so happy when someone comes up and tells me them.
And to those who might be listening to us right now who are acutely suffering that grief, because it really, there's a point where it isn't part of your consciousness, it's not on your radar screen, and then just like that, you are among the ranks of the grieving. So I want to ask both of you, where do you begin to use that grief to grow outward? What's the first step to take, Judith?
Ideally, from a psychotherapeutic perspective, the best thing to do would be to seek help. So to contact a therapist specializing in grief or a therapist who you find to be comforting, a support group, any kind of way to connect with others or another person who can be a witness to your pain, your loss, your suffering, and validate what you're going through is a great first step.
What would you say as well as having...
I mean, I agree. I mean, we we all went to therapy. In fact, Judith was my daughter's grief therapist, and that's how I met Judy. But yeah, we all did that. I think that's really important. Good friends, you know, my family, my husband, we you know, just really talked a lot about it, and just getting support from people. I agree. Talking about
Liz
it.
How do you regard death now that it has touched your life in such a powerful way?
You know, I don't fear death like I used to at all. And I do feel like there is, you know, something out there that's bigger than all of this that just makes it a lot more comforting for me.
Do you see that, Judy? Often?
Absolutely. I feel that way, too. And you'll see that, and it's a thread that weaves through all of the stories in this film. Most of these individuals have a strong faith and a sense that life goes on. There's a continuity to life and that, you know, we're here for a while. You know, some of us longer. Virginia Beckley states that very poignantly. However, you know, there is a sense that life goes on afterwards. Most of the people are either clear with that, or they're the young girl, you know, the 25-year-old girl, Ricky Friedman, is still working on trying to figure that one out. But several of the people in this film, including myself, have that strong sense that there's something bigger and there's a purpose to all of this.
The film is called Transforming Loss, a documentary, and you can order the DVD or you can learn more about the film and future showings by going to the website transforminglossdocumentary.com. All one word, transforminglossdocumentary.com. I've been speaking with the filmmaker, Judy Burdick. Thank you so much for joining us. And Liz Guss, thank you so much. It's been a really pleasure, and thank you for sharing your life story, and I think we've all learned good lessons from both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.